clap your hands, everybody. You got what it takes. This is the Punk News Podcast, and we only do one take. So if you don't know us by now, I guess you'll never know us, because we've got the hostess with the mostest, so don't try and roast us, because host number one is under the Brooklyn sun, here to have fun, son. She rocks the bouncing souls and spits the facts like the barrel of a gun, so you better run, or run come quick, because this hostess, Herbie, to your St. Nick. I mean, she's there when it counts, or when you're down and out, so don't pout or challenge her clout, because this host rocks the bands from Japan to Brooklyn, and her name is, wait, I'm not dropping it yet, I gotta slow down, I'm racing like I'm headed to a showdown in the hometown for a throwdown. Downtown. So don't be a clown when this host, she's got the laugh and the giggle and the mind as sharp as a tack that will make you figure that she is quicker than the record shop flipper or with the movie ticket click ticker at the debut of Flipper. But I'm not talking records, I'm talking topics and points and punk news debate that takes the cake and makes you quick like you're having steak with the queen of the England at the lake. Mamma Mia, let's go mosh again. My, my, it's the white and blue. Mamma Mia, let's circle pit again. My, my, how much we've missed you. And we've missed this host who has been posting news and reviews and interviews so long that I get confused. Now, where was I? Oh, yes, I was about to drop this host's name without a stop in the game. Ring, ring, ring. Ring. Who's this? This is the Punk News Podcast, talking to Clash and Crass and Johnny Cash, and also some emo band from South Korea whose name I did not catch, so I'll get it wrong, but we don't edit because it takes too long. So what you're going to do, go ahead and sue. I know I'm protected as long as I'm rocking this podcast with Punk News' human glue. It's true. You know who keeps things running at the white and blue, and here's a clue. Sammy, Sammy, be now. Sammy, P now.
Wow, what a tribute, Sam.
So the next time I have to give a lecture in my professional life, I'm going to have to hire you to do that.
We are one head blue after 23 years of time. This host has drafted thousands of sentences on the HTML line. There have been mistakes, but just a few. She's had her share of trolls and been kicked in the face, but she's come through. Punk News is the champion, my friend. And we'll keep on posting until the end. Punk News are the champions. Punk News are the champions of the internet. So all of you that wish was 1982, you can get with the future or get beat so bad that you'll need a bunch of sutures. You're losing your marbles because this one gets the bands that have a little pit hair over here, or then they make you have dirty thoughts but when they flash their underwear. That's not what punk is supposed to be. I'm scared. I'm lonely. Why doesn't this sound like Shock Troops track number 3? Punk rock is not about your comfort, and it sure isn't nostalgia on the safe of your sofa, because this host knows you, and she's playing pinch shift and pussy Gillette to mind blow you away, or you can come with us. But punk rock does not evolve by living only in the glorious past. We rock the flag and the blag and the nasty comma dag, but we also got the new jams, the slam and bam, you and your gram, and to cram you with the newest, damn, that rocks. I'm talking Bad Waitress, but you can't take this. And Novo, bro. Now there's a show. Or Linda Lindis, who howl or scowl. Right about now, there's Jell and Lonnie Hell. Oh, I mean Lonnie Heck. Sorry, I had to come correct. Because the little hairs on the back of your neck are standing up. The future is right around the bend. And I got news for you. Danny Miller is never going to be your girlfriend. So we got this editor here that brings the fear and causes Freddie Katz to tear at the beginning of the year with her destiny spear to drive hot new bands into your ear and to steer you to the cool shit over here with sound crystal clear, which will make you cheer. Ear of a beer, mon frere. Whoa, 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 whoa. I didn't catch all that. Rewind the tape. So we got this editor over here that brings the fear that causes Freddy Cat's tears at the beginning of the year with her destiny spear to drive the hot new bands into your ear with and to steer you to the cool shit right over here with her sound crystal clear, which will make you cheer. Ear of a beer, mon frere. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't catch all of that. Rewind the tape. So we got this editor over here that brings the fear that causes Freddy Cat's tears at the beginning of the year with her destiny spear to drive the hot new bands into your ear and to steer you to the cool shit over here with sound crystal clear, which will make you cheer. Ear of a beer, mon frere. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't catch that. Rewind the tape. Oh, crap. The tape snapped. No problem, Jack. I got the scissors in the scotch to put it back. But even if the real has some slack, there's no skin off my back because the jams will give you a heart attack. You want to know by now. Jeez, wow, this editor will make you be like, holy cow, because we are in the digital, but we are still visceral. Even though we are invisible, this editor has got the jams for you that will keep you hysterical with the funky beats trying tuned about Chubby and the gang from the streets all the way up to Vile on the breaking news punk news sheets. But is that enough for you? Is this going to floor you? Well, I got more for you. 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 I got M more for you. But also, this host right here is big rig trucking. I'm talking RV van straight rucking. And he's running out of luck when this show starts bucking. Breaker Breaker 19. Broadway Mama hauling RV down county line over. Roger that. Broadway Mama pushing Franklin over. Double nickels over the dime. Over. Roger that. Pie in the sky says two Smokies capping by the chicken coop to snap the crime. Over. Roger that. Broadway Mama done dropped the trip between Cigar Town and Apple City around Blue Light Time. Over. We are too fast for the trend chasers, and we are too fast for the time wasters and the naysayers, and we got twinkle toes, don't you know, because this here host, yo, was on a new musical dance number show. I'm talking Rent and Stomp and some play where she picked up Jane Wielden for an astral romp. Catch this. I'm talking fan touring, jerk deploring, album soaring, audience jaw to the floor and straight up pop punker, bass riff dunker with the style and the smarts and ability to do handstands and wheel comic carts. I'm talking music discussion so hype it will put you behind bars. What you gonna do when you get out of jail? I'm gonna have a blast. And what do you consider a blast? Listen to the Punk News Podcast. This ain't no Tom Tom, but it is a club. But listen here, bruv. We rock the punk, hip-hop, reggae, and dub, and classic rock, because that's what punk begins. And this is a club, but it's not exclusive or intrusive or elusive. So come on in. The water's fine. And this here host with the subject of this rhyme has a percentage of coolness. 99.9999999. Error, error does not compute. Error, error does not compute. Newest host update, able to leap over crowds with a single bound, more powerful than a locomotive, faster than a speeding, look up in the sky, act and fly, bass beat so bad it will make you cry, it's a bird, with the classic refrain, it's Hallie Bullitt!
The Broadway Mama on the mic.
And now you know this intro has to come to a close, even though we're being silly. Also, I think we've got some guy named John Gentile. Am I running out of breath? Do I need to take a rest? Am I failing the test? Maybe we're not the bet. No, I'm just gassing you because we're passing you, and I'm sassing you and lambasting you and Punk News Podcast blasting you. But you know, bro, it's time to get on with the show. It's the end of the year. Magical global. So before I go low and lay low, I must issue this proclamation to and fro. Punk News Podcast 577, end of year wrap-up, new year kickoff. Hey, ho, let's go!
1, 2, 3, 4!
And we're back. Focus Pocket 577. End of your wrap up.
That was like performance art, spoken word, outsider art, and like a glimpse into like your brain. Oh, it was really something, well, Josh and Tilly.
Well, I'm just going to sit here and wait for some expensive clothing company to rip off all my stuff and make millions of dollars off of it. But just change it just enough so it's fair use and I can't get any money out of them. So, listen, people, it's the end of the year wrap-up. It's my favorite episode of the year, maybe second favorite episode of the year, tied with the Christmas episode. So on this episode, we kind of just talk about what happened in 2021 and what we're hoping for in 2022 and play some cool tunes. And we're here with Sam and Em and Hallie and the whole crew. We're just going to kick back and have some fun and talk about the year and what a year it was. So yeah. I mean, if you ask me, 2022 was a killer year for music. And in the comment section, a lot of people were like, not that much good stuff came out. And I'm thinking, man, this year, like, a ton of great stuff came out. And I'm thinking a ton of great stuff is going to come out in 2022 just because a lot of bands have been sitting around. And, frankly, a lot have been making the most out of it. So we'll get into the specifics later. But, Hallie Bullock, 2021, great year for music, okay, or amazing year for music?
I thought there was so much good music this year. I will say, like, I felt like it was the year of the single. Right, because like I felt like a lot of bands were choosing to just put out a single. You know, I think a lot of bands are sitting on albums right now. They don't want to put out an album and not be able to tour it. So I just felt like there were a lot of artists that I liked this year that were just like sort of dropping singles here and there and like really, really, really good stuff. And obviously the albums that came out, I thought it was a great year for music. I thought it was a fantastic year. Like, surprisingly, I don't know. I feel like, you know, you talk to artists and some of them say that, you know, you'd think that all the time sitting around during the pandemic would be, like, inspiring or that you'd be, like, wanting to sit around writing. I think for a lot of people, it's just been such a bummer that they really haven't been wanting to create. But obviously, that's not true for so many artists because there was so much... Yeah, like really fabulous stuff that came out. And also, I think people do, they have more time. So I would imagine bands are maybe doing something that they don't always have the luxury of doing, which is just sitting around and writing more material than they actually need for an album and then picking the best stuff. So I think the stuff that's come out has been really strong. Yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think this year was like, all right. I think it was good. I didn't feel like, at least for me, overwhelmed with a lot of records that came out. I do also think that there are bands sitting on records because they can't tour it or they can't get it pressed or, you know, like, there's all these other variables now, with COVID and the pandemic ruining our lives. I think there was enough for me to say that, like, these are things that there was enough for me to listen to this year.
And do you think there's a lot of cool jams or I mean, and overall, do you think it was better than average or less than average?
I'd say probably better than average because this year was, like, I usually listen to a fair amount of good or of new music, but this year I listened to way more new music than last year, because last year was like good amount of new music, but also like, you know, old like comfort albums, and then this year was kind of like, nope, you're in the deep end, you're only listening to new stuff, so that was really cool. There's just so many. I had a lot of honorable mentions this year that I couldn't fit in, or, you know, I thought it was great. I really hope that 2022 is filled with this much, like, new stuff and just great stuff. And also 2021 had the new Culture Shock album, and that's always a good year. So I think it was great. Great year for music overall.
I thought this year was fantastic. I think there was so much that came out and like time has been so odd over the past 2 years now that it's difficult to like really focus on one record or say, oh, you know, I was doing with a lot of music that you listen to, you kind of associate with what you're doing at the time that you're listening to it. Like certain records, like Ronan Park, I will always associate that when I was studying for the bar, or like Sublime going down to the beach, you know, or stuff like that. Whereas because time is everything and nothing these days, it is kind of hard to associate records with a certain thing that you were doing. So they kind of all get lost up in this morass. But I will say is, for me, at Punk News, we posted our top records of the year. And my top records, I usually have, like, the top three duke it out, you know, and the rest are you know, kind of fall into place. But for me this year, my top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 records, or even 9 records, are duking out for the number one spot. I just thought there was a lot of stuff that was kind of like classic punk rock and some new stuff. I mean, like, well, actually, a lot of new style kind of stuff. Like Culture Shock is kind of, you know, classic style, but Colleen Green was new. Effed Up was new. Surfboard was sort of new sounding. Catbite is sort of new sounding. So I think a lot of people got creative and kind of surprisingly made compact records, aside from the Effed Up record, as opposed to what you think you might make in quarantine, which would be like long, sprawn out records. Sam, what was your top record of the year? And did your records have to duke it out, or did you know what was number one right away?
So my top record of the year was Drones. They put out Our Hell Is Right Here. And I think so that the record came out fairly early in the year, and I pretty much knew by October that that was going to be number one. Like, Turnstile was pretty close, but I was like, the fact that I spent more time gravitating to Drones, possible the lyrics maybe spoke to me more or whatever, kind of just like was there. It pretty much held its spot most of the year.
I surprised me was M's favorite record of the year was Culture Shock. I knew M liked Culture Shock. I didn't know that Dick Lucas was like her dude, you know? M, is Dick Lucas like the dude? I know. I mean, I'm very happy to see it because I love Dick Lucas. The Culture Shock record was great. And, you know, M's like, No Bro and Vile and all these bands. And she's like, no, number one is definitely Culture Shock, this bouncy, fun ska punk record by this old English dude.
Every time his name comes up on the podcast, M is like all over it. I love your love for Dick Lucas. So good.
Just like his existence makes me happy, and then everything he's put out, it's great. So my top was Mandemic from Culture Shock, and I kind of had an idea that it was going to be my number one because how I pick my number one album is what I listen to the most in full, like not just single songs, but in full. That's not how I rank the rest of the list, though, which I probably should. But yeah, the top one is the one I've listened to the most. And I can't tell you how many times I listened to it because it was like the announcement came out and I was really excited. And then I listened to the two singles that were released at that point. And then it just like came out of nowhere. And since it came out, that's like I was listening to it at least twice every day. And then I was listening to, I listened to two songs and they mixed up. But it was usually, War is Peace and Concentration Dub before the podcast for like 2 months. But yeah, it's really good and it makes me happy. And again, if I'm feeling down or whatever, it's like, there you go. And then, you know, they're just, the lyrics are really good and like raging against stuff, but like doing it in a way that sounds really upbeat and everything. So it's like, you know, you get the energy and you get the anger and the anchor, and it's just, it's great. So I knew that one was going to be my top one. But everything else, like certain things rose, like Scowls number two, because that album really, really resonated, and I got a lot out of it with the lyrics and with everything. So that one was a really close, like, second, and then third, Landy Hecht, Going to Hell, and that one again meant a lot to me through the year. So the top three were really close, but all in all, like, all of them were pretty close. Like, nothing's really too far out.
You know, one thing that I've really enjoyed over the past year is Hallie Bullitt and myself just kicking the crap out of most ska bands, and us both saying, oh, ska in of itself is okay, but most ska bands don't do it well. Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, Hallie Bullitt, did you know that Amore in their top 10 was a ska band, and now I feel kind of bad.
But she's made that clear. She's come to these bands' defense, as you and I are, like, being super snarky about it all. That's why we need her on the podcast.
Horns.
We need somebody with their finger on the pulse of what the kids like, and it's not me.
Hallie Bullitt, did you have, like, a favorite record of the year or a few favorite records of the year, and was it a tight battle, or was your number one with a bullet?
Let me think about that. Yeah, I mean, the Amyl and the Sniffers Comfort to me was definitely my favorite record of the year. I mean, I didn't do like a list like you guys, so I didn't have to like really like pour through everything and really think about what I liked best. But I feel like I listened to that the most often, and I was just sort of the most blown away by that band because I didn't know them prior to this year. So it was like really fun to. Yeah, just like, you know, that doesn't happen to me as often anymore, that I like discover a band and then just want to like dive into an album. So I also don't have the time to like pour over music and like live in it the way that I used to. So when an album is good enough to really sort of draw me back into that kind of listening that I used to do when I was younger and I had time to like really like look at the lyrics and lay on my bed and dream about like the songs, you know, that album was that for me this year for sure.
For me, the number one was, the bands duking it out for my number one were Rudimentary Peni, Catbite, Marissa Paternoster, Surfport, Effed Up, Colleen Green, and then Hawk Baby and Culture Shock. I mean, and it was a fight to the finish, cause, I mean, Rudimentary Peni, the new record was just so intense, like RP always is. The Catbite record is just like the most poppiest, great, straight up, like, enjoyable record. Marissa Paternoster was cool because it's like sad, but the dance record Surfport was so good because it was like just, it was exactly what I want from punk rock. Effed Up was cool because it was so broad. Colleen Green was so good because it was so compact and like kind of cold. Hawk Baby was so good because it was like kind of like a Dead Kennedys or Gaza X record. And Culture Shock, like Em said, was just great Culture Shock with great ska, great punk, and some dub. So I really had my tops duking it out. I do tend to, in my end of year list, I do tend to give bias towards Friends. So that's why Surfboard, which was a contender for number one, kind of got outsmoked, not smoked, but slightly beat out by Marissa Paternoster and Catbite. But then I still had Blinko, Catbite, and Paternoster, and I'm like, I gotta give it to Blinko. It might be the last Rudimentary Peni record. It sounds fantastic. It's daring. It's weird. I got to give it to Blinko. And I thought to myself, not that it is somewhat vain to say, well, you know, the bands will care where they show up on my list, you know. So I don't know how sensitive bands are if they don't care. I thought to myself, no bands can get mad at me if I put Blinko at number one because he's Nick Blinko. You know, it's not like it's some new band. It's the Titan, you know. And so that's why I put Blinko at number one, but it could have went to anybody. The one weird thing, you guys tell me this is creepy or weird. So actually, I should have had this ready. So in 20, let's see here, John G. best of 2020 punk news. Let me pull this up real quick. In 2020, my number one record was – no, in 2019, my my number one record last year was Jello Biafra and the GSM. I felt like I just wrote that article like not that long ago at all. Wow. So anyway, my top record in 2019 was World Inferno Friendship Society. I think my top record in 2016 was Mischief Brew, and my top record in like 2014 was Guar. And I'm like, that's kind of a scary premonition. You know what I mean? So, I that was a genuine concern that I had that like, well, maybe I shouldn't give like the top to like somebody because I think my list might be like bad luck. You know?
The curse. I mean, that's the Gentilly curse.
That's freaky though, right?
It is a little.
Yeah,
man. So I don't know. Anyway, so I'm going to play a couple of my favorite records of the year right now. We'll come back and we'll keep this baby rocking. I'm going to play Rudimentary P&I, Path of Glory. It's like a minute long. It is super fierce, super hardcore. The album is probably recorded 7 years ago or so, and it might actually only have Nick Blinko on it, and the other two members of Rudimentary P&I might not be on it, and it might only be a demo, and all the lyrics are adapted from Wilfred Owens, the poet from around World War I, who wrote significantly about World War I. Actually, Blinko actually did that once before back in 2007, I think it was. He did The Chances was the song, and that was about World War I. So this was kind of a sequel to that single that Blinko put out. And so it's just super intense. It's super blown out. It might be the last Rudimentary P&I record we got. It didn't really get that much coverage, and I wonder if that was like the label. The label is a great label called Sealed Records, and they put out a lot of cool stuff, but they're one of these labels that, like, they don't promote their own stuff, which I realize is kind of the maximum rock and roll punk thing kind of do. But I feel like if you're going to put it out, man, you might as well let as much people know about it and say, this is special, you know? So I don't know. Second thing I want to play is Creepin' by Catbite. The Catbite record was so good. It was the perfect second record for that band. A little bit better production, a little bit poppier, but the songwriting is fantastic. And just the songs are just so good on that record. After that, I think I'm going to play Glue by Surfboard. It's not really representative of all the songs on the album. The second Surfboard album called Keep On Truckin' was produced by Linda Perry, and you can really feel that. And that Linda Perry kind of pulled back from the straight-up hardcore charging, which the band usually does. And when I say hardcore, I don't mean like Cro-Magnon. I don't even really mean like Black Flag, but, you know, rough and ragged, kind of like Poison Idea, if you will. The new record is much glammier and has a much brighter sound, which at first I didn't like, and then I grew to love. And singer Danny Miller has talked about how Linda Perry had a hand in crafting a lot of the songs, and I feel like the last track, Glue, is very representative of that. To me, it's kind of like Nirvana meets David Bowie meets Surfboard. And most of the other tracks are kind of more punkier and kind of faster. And if all the songs were like this song, Glue, I probably wouldn't love the album as much, but it does have a lot of punky tracks. But the song, Glue, it's just an absolute masterpiece of a song. The last thing I'm going to play, let's play some, well, I played Marissa Paternoster a lot, so I would play Marissa, but I played her a lot on the show before. So let's play some, I guess we'll play, the Scout record was banging. I mean, the Scout record was super hard, super fast. It's savage and it's classic hardcore, especially classic West Coast hardcore, but it sounds very, very fresh. And I don't even exactly know why. I guess just because the lyrics are fresh. And I guess it goes to show that the visual aspect of a band is almost as important as the musical aspect. Scal has been very clever. They use bright colors and flowers and stuff. Let's play Bloodhound by Scal. So this is Rudimentary P&I doing Path of Glory, Creeping by Catbite, Glue by Surfboard, and then Bloodhounds by Scal.
Thank you.
And my notes are already jumbled, so let's see, what did I have to talk about? Well, let's talk about this. Sammy B, in 2021, what did Punk News and the Punk News Podcast do well, and what do we do not so well?
Well, I wasn't on a lot of the podcasts, which, you know, is what it is. I do think that we covered a lot of news, thanks to M. So we did that well. I do think that we probably need more interviews, but, you know.
True.
Whatever. I really, really, really enjoy the new contents, like, you know, DJ sets and stuff like that for the podcast. So that's another thing, happy thing that I think we should continue doing if we choose to.
Hallie Blint Podcast or Punk News, the website, what did we do well and what can we improve on?
Well, for the podcast, I like the music we talk about. I just feel like we cover a lot of really good music. If I were a person in the punk world, just like wanting to hear, you know, wanting a way to learn about new music, I like the stuff we cover. I think it covers like a really large swath of punk, which I really like. Actually, sort of similar to what Sam is saying about the website itself, I think it's been so fun when we've had guests on, and I think maybe that would be like a thing to do more of, maybe moving forward. Is right? Don't you guys feel like it's been so fun? I mean, I also just love talking to you, but I think the few episodes that we've had guests on have just been like fun. So not, you know, not all the time, but I'd look forward to maybe doing a little bit more of that next year or this year, right? This year is next year. That's what I think.
And what do you think we did well at the site and then the podcast, and what can we improve on?
Yeah, with the site, I think, well, like we've had a lot of a news output, which I think's great, and tried to cover more of everything, you know, instead of just one or two like specific kind of subgenres. So I think that went really well, like casting more of a net and finding different music and new music and highlighting that. I think that was something really good. Getting more like writer participation, like with features and stuff. I think that was good, and that's something like definitely want to continue and make it more like maybe bi-monthly or so. So then, you know, there's new stuff and lots kind of going on that way. With the podcast, I think, yeah, like the DJ sets are really cool. They're really, really fun to listen to. And when we have guests on, that's also really neat because it mixes everything up. So those are really good. The Punk's Points was really fun. So kind of like episodes like that are neat too. I love talking to you guys. It's really, really fun, really great, and I always look forward to it. So that's always a strength too. And then with improvements, overall, I think just, like, it's hard to kind of, again, cast, like, a wide net with, like, improvements, because it's, like, everything's just, like, you know, kind of, like, oh, well, I need to improve on this or whatever. So, like, what one thing that I want to improve with myself on the podcast is kind of, like, jumping in more and getting, like, tell it, like, kind of getting a little more, like personal and stuff, like the stories and things. So that's something I want to work on. And yeah, just doing more with DJ sets and with, like content for the site. John, what do you think what the strengths and weak and improvements?
Well, I think our strength is we hit a lot of news, and we hit a lot of wide ranging news, and we're hitting a lot of the new punk stuff. You know, we're not just, you know, doing the same old, you know, here's what Good Riddance is up to. You know, here's what, you know, Hot Water Music is up to, you know. So I think we're doing real good with that. I think, as always, although actually we are actually doing better with this. For the past 10 years, I've been saying, we need to be covering more hardcore. We need to be covering more maximum rock and roll type stuff. And actually, we have improved on that this year for the first time in a long time. So that's very exciting. I think 2022 is going to be somewhat of a big year for punk news, and that I'm going to probably be more involved than I was in the past couple of years. Because I wrapped up Architect of Self-Destruction, so I have a little bit more free. Well, I thought I would have more free time, but somehow I don't. But I'm going to have to make more free time. We haven't done a writer's drive in a long, long time, like probably 4 years, which is the longest it's ever been. We used to do one every year. We haven't done one in like 4, maybe even 5 years. So we're going to do a new writer's drive and bring in some new writers, because we definitely need some new writers. We need some new reviewers. We need some new interviewers. We need all of that. So we definitely could improve there. But on the other hand, the quality of our reviews has been real good. Our news this year has been our news has been our strongest point for sure. I mean, we've really been the only website really covering punk news. I mean, other websites cover some punk news, but it's very selective, and even those websites have been kind of dropping back. We're the only website I know covering Fear, covering, you know, what Harley Flanagan's up to, but also what, you know, Lonnie Heck's up to. So we've got a pretty wide span. I guess my concern is, and hopefully we'll have the answer to this soon, is I have no idea who the demographic of our reader is. I know that the commenters are not representative of the demographic, but do we want to focus more on M-War type bands, or do we want to keep the wide spread that we have? I don't know. You know, I love covering the old bands, you know, like Cro-Mags and, you know, Jello and Keith Morris and all those guys, and even Coxspar, and, you know, I like covering those bands, but who are our readers at this point? And not that necessarily even matters, because as we've always said, we only cover what we want to cover. We're editor driven, not reader driven, which has been cool. But I do like to try to maintain authority, if you will, or credibility, you know, and I think we're doing that. I have no idea who our readers is, you know, and if we cover even more and more type bands, would that help us out? Maybe it would. I don't know. We definitely need to be doing more interviews, more quality. We always have done quality interviews. Our interviews have been traditionally so much better than other websites, and they still are. I will say what's interesting is, when I started doing interviews, I kind of made it a point to elevate our interviews to the level of Rolling Stone circa 1983, 84, 85, 81. And I think a lot of other people kind of followed that lead. And so our interviews, I mean, before I was doing interviews at Punk News, you know, you'd do like a Maximum Rock and Roll interview or even a Vice interview. They'd be like, so how's Torben gone? Real good. Oh, nice. So who's in the band? Billy, Tammy, Steven, Joan. You know, oh, cool. You know, like kind of these interviews that you get from a press sheet, you know. And so our interviews have been really good and still are really good. But we need to do more of them. With regards to the podcast, I don't think there's going to be radical change, but there are going to be definite changes in that on the back end this month and next month. I'm actually working on rearranging some stuff on the back end, which will hopefully give us a little bit more, I guess, flexibility. I still got to set up my microphone to have more clarity. We're going to look at our podcast demographics and see, should we just keep doing the same old, or should we change it a little bit? And also, I want to do more bonus episodes. I think people like them, but I don't know. I'll know what the numbers look like shortly, so it'll figure out if the bonus episodes are worth it or not. They're fun to do. I think basically, we need to bring in more writers, and on the podcast, I think we just need to tighten up, basically. And I guess the other question I have lately on the podcast, and Sam and Em, and how you guys can give me some feedback, is I've traditionally always been like, we need to do the news on the podcast. We need to do the news on the podcast because we need a reason for the people to tune in, and they tune in the Punk News podcast to hear our take on the news. Whereas a lot of other podcasts, I'm thinking of the most famous podcast in the internet where the guys make like literally like $1 million an episode. Do you guys know the podcast that I'm talking about?
No.
The name is – I don't know if it's the most popular, but it's like the most popular – it's called like Cumtown. And those guys really make like $1 million an episode. And I'm like, oh, well, let me listen to this to see what these guys are doing. It's so magical. I listen to it, and it's just like two dudes hanging out. I'm like, what is this? You know, like, why is this getting $1 million? You know, I was really surprised. I guess it's like I can't figure out why some podcasts are so big and some aren't. I understand why some are. I understand why Chris Gethard's podcast, Beautiful Anonymous, it's a clever idea and it's done really well. I understand why that one's popular. But then there's other ones like Come Down. I'm not dogging on them, but they're just two dudes talking about Rambo. I'm like, what?
Is that my sound that's going out or John's?
It's John.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Hi. It's always John.
So, yeah, I don't know. You guys, how do we make this podcast as popular as something called Cumtown?
Well, I'm okay with it not being popular at all. With not even needing to say Cumtown ever again.
It's really clever, you know, it's such a clever title. I mean, of course people are listening to it. Anyone that comes up with the title that clever has got to have a great podcast.
Well, you know.
It's the most popular podcast on it's the most popular comedy podcast on the internet, astoundingly. So, I don't know what they do. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, so the point being is, do listeners want to hear us just talk? Or do they want to hear us cover the news or the wishy-washy mixy-mixy? You know what I mean? I think probably a little bit of BSing and the news is probably the way to go, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
The news is definitely the way to go. It's like it's what the – you know, it's conceptually what the podcast is, and it's fun to talk. It's fun to talk about that stuff. Like, I love talking to you guys, and I – Right, like I would just as soon talk to you about the news as anything else, right? Like the news is, like it's fun to gossip about what's happening in music. It's like super fun. Like what else would we be talking about, John? Like
my petty squabbles with other concert promoters.
Oh, God.
Well, listen, you know, we can also get into that. It's also like technically music news. It may just only be news in your very small corner of music, but it's music news.
That's John gossip.
When you think about it, news is subjective, so if it's news to you, it's technically news. So it's news to everybody. Have a bullet, play some songs, and we'll come back and we'll talk some more.
Great. I mean, my, you know, like I said, I didn't sit down and really – I didn't pour over all the music that I loved this year. So this is like a little bit more of a random list, but these are all things I really, really loved. I guess I'm going to play The Chisel doing Retaliation off of Retaliation, right? This is a street punk band from the UK. Interestingly, a pandemic band. They had albums out before they'd ever played a live show, which is like cool and weird, a weird way to do it, you know? But, you know, I think happening more and more now, right? But yeah, I don't know. I really liked that. Like I said, I love the Amyl and the Sniffers record. So I'm going to play, I think this was the first single off of it. It's Hurts. And my love of this song is very wrapped up in my love of the music video, because it's just like from the very beginning of it, it just starts at with a shot of the ceiling. And as the camera moves down, there is the singer, Amy. She's like a spider hovering in the corner of the room, like kind of above the doorway, like in the corner, like, and you're like, oh, what is this person? Like, who is this? And what is this music? And it's just like, so I love this stuff. It's so interesting. So anyhow, I'm going to play Hurts. And then, the Linda Lindas, right, Reverend, we've talked a lot about them on the podcast this year, and they had, you know, Racist Sexist Boy, which everyone loved, and that everyone was wondering what they were going to do to follow that up. And then they came out with this single, Oh, which was so good. So yeah, I want to play Oh. And then kind of a random one to end my little set. This is a band that I didn't talk about with you guys on the podcast. I don't know if you ever covered them, on weeks that I wasn't around, but, this band Fiddlehead from Boston is like a hardcore band from Boston. I think Sam, you've written about them on the site. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a great band. And this is just a song that I got a lot of, listens and out of and a lot of joy out of this year. And it's, so this is, I'll wrap up with Fiddlehead doing Million Years.
Call me Andrew.
And we are back, and this year was COVID part two, COVID the sequel. Things weren't quite as locked down as they were last year, but, I mean, as I know full well, COVID certainly had a lot of shows canceled, including Summer Soiree 5, a.k.a. the New Year's Eve Mega Bash. And so, and actually just today, the Aft Up tour was canceled. So tours are still being canceled, and really no one knows where it all stands, and no one knows what to do. I don't want to make it too political, but what I will say is, well, I don't know. Do we want to go off on a political angle or not? Or is everyone tired of the political angle? Maybe everyone's tired of the political angle. Yeah, and more. How did COVID affect you? If you guys want to hear about the political angle, let me know and I'll do it when we come back around to me. But and more, how did COVID affect you and your music listening personally?
Okay. Well, this year was nuts. Just one thing. Non-music related, I got a book out from the library about the Spanish flu because I thought, I'm going to read this. I'm going to understand this. And I had a panic attack. So that was fun.
Wait, what about, because
it's a really good book, though.
You had a panic attack because it was giving you a deeper understanding of what we're currently going through or will continue to go through, or just because it reminded you. Let me rephrase this question in a better way. Why did it give you a panic attack?
Because I was really sleep deprived and I read it and then I was like, oh no, this is what's happening. COVID is the Spanish flu. And then I got really freaked out and I was like, it's everywhere. And I mean, it is everywhere, but it just, you know, when you read something that's from a while ago and somehow like something flips in your brain and you're like, yep, that's now, that's happening now. We have nothing. We haven't, you know, so that was okay. But, yeah, so that happened. But with music, I listen to a lot more music in general and I found there was a lot more, like connecting more with the music and with the messages and the lyrics and just taking just a lot more out of it. It was surprising too because there were certain bands and albums and stuff that I've been listening to for years that again are comfort albums or whatever that had no effect at all this year and it was just like, yep, no, can't keep listening to that, have to switch it up and find different things. And that was something that was really interesting with the amount of new music coming out and like the quality of the new music coming out is a lot of these albums have become like have replaced the old ones and they've become more like what I'll turn to like first instead of something else. Like Amel and the Sniffers was a big one just because it's really upbeat and that there's a lot kind of going on and it's the lyrics are really good. The first Pandemic by Cluttered was also one that just kept going back to. There were lots on the list that were repeats. One thing too that happened was I think I mentioned it on a previous podcast because I know I played the song, was, Like a Motorcycle or Halifax, punk band, and they covered 122 Hours of Fear, and I was listening to that daily. And that became the anthem of 2021. That's why my list starts out with, wow, what a show. And also because the year was kind of a shit show. But it was, it was a good year for music. And I think that it was nice to have more of a connection with what I was listening to and everything. What about you guys?
So this year sucked in so many ways. So personally, I've been dealing with grief all year, people passing away, dealing with all of that, dealing with family members getting COVID and not actually paying attention to what they needed to do in life to stop the pandemic. you know, a lot of things happened to the point where I actually needed to find a therapist and start therapy. So I'm working out a lot of issues, which did actually work its way into my life and the things that I listened to this year. So this year I focused on a lot of things that, you know, had very thoughtful lyrics and just resonated or just made me happy. You know, I wrote my end of the year list with a quote from Turnstile. Thank you for letting me see myself. I want to thank you for letting me be myself. And that is pretty much the quote that the entire year I was like, I just want to be happy and I just want to be me. So a lot of the music that I gravitated to were very guitar driven, crunchy, melodic, things like that. I did see a couple of shows this year because, you know, last year I think I said how much I miss crunchy guitars so badly. And, you know, working out all of the feelings of going back, I guess reintroducing ourselves back into society, into normal people world. You know, I was in LA and I ended up going to see Tiger Straw and Turnover and Joyce Manor when Joyce Manor did the self-titled shows. And I didn't have tickets beforehand. I just so happens to find tickets for cheap on StubHub, and I was there. So it was kind of just like I was there and it just happened. I literally broke down and cried after the show. It was one of the happiest moments I've had this year because I just felt so relieved that things were normal for a little bit again. So pretty much, like, you know, I made sure that when the Bouncing Souls came around, I was there. They played with Face to Face and I literally bawled after that. you know, like, yeah, I think this year sucked. I think we're still recovering from this year. I don't think anything is normal. I hope 2022 is better. We'll see. I don't know. I kind of have high hopes because there's a lot of bands that I listen to is putting things out this year. So we'll see. Sorry, I'm like a bummer.
No, that was awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's like, why do we do this podcast, right? Like, we do it to like talk about stuff and like, why not talk about real stuff? You know what I mean? I appreciate knowing what the year really was for you. Like, I appreciate that a lot, actually.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think every single one of us went through our own thing, some worse than others. And, you know, I've been very mindful of just being like careful about, you know, about everyone's feelings right now, because, you know, you wouldn't know that bad things are happening with certain people because, you know, maybe they don't talk about it or maybe they don't, you know, say it. I also reevaluated my entire life with social media. Because, you know, social media can be a very awful place. I've said that the internet is a bad place for a really long time. And, you know, not everything you see on the internet is real sometimes. So, you know, I really did take this year to take care of me. And I think that's what I needed. And I think that's what, you know, punk news being in my life still has helped me figure out as well.
Punk news has helped your mental stability?
A little bit. It's weird.
I think, like, that thing you described where you were, like, at a show and just, like, burst into tears because of just, like, the sheer relief of being able to, like, do something you love again that like means so much to you. Like I haven't really gone back to shows, right? Because my kid is still unvaccinated, and I have optimistically bought some tickets for like the spring and the summer and the fall, and I think it will be exactly the same for me. Like I'm it's also not that hard to get me to cry, but but I think it'll be a super emotional experience, you know, plus if you add that on the heels of like you also just having an emotional year, it's like I can imagine that was like, yeah, like an overwhelming.
Yeah, like, you know, I feel like shows have been my life for a really long time, and having a 2-year pause in it really, like, I'm sure other people feel the same way. I was like, we had no idea what we were doing. Like, you know, people in bands, they're all, you know, some of them were like, what do I do with my hands? Like, what do I do now, you know? Like, they can't tour, they can't do that, whatever. So some of them made records, which is great. But, you know, when these things become our life and we have to stop it, like, you know, it's, you kind of have to figure out where you belong again, you know. So having it back is very nice, and it was nice to see it back for a little bit, you know, until Omicron came knocking on our doors and saying hi. So, yeah, maybe in the spring it'll be better. Maybe in the fall it'll be better. Maybe next year. Well, this year it'll be great.
I gotta use these tickets to the Turnstile show that I bought. I'm like very, very excited about that show. So I don't remember when that is. May? Things have got to be better. Things have got to be better by the time I'm supposed to go to the Turnstile show. That's what I say.
Yes.
Well, listen, people. Punk News Show, maybe May, maybe April, maybe June. Stay tuned for that. We'll see. I won't extrapolate too much because you guys all said pretty beautiful things. I'll just say, you know, this year was the year that Architects of Self-Destruction came out, and I've been talking about it nonstop on the podcast. And so I'm still going to talk about it in the future, but I am going to talk about it way less. But I meant to do some big sappy post on Instagram, but I didn't yet because Leftover Crack is always in a state of disarray now as much as ever, now more than ever. So, you know, sometimes you got to walk, you know, sometimes the way's a little rocky. You got to hang back on shore for a hot minute. Anyways, doing a for real deal book with a for real deal publisher about a for real deal band was a life's goal of mine, and I did it. And I want to thank all the readers who bought it and everyone who checked it out and everyone who listened to the podcast. It has been a real thrill to have put a book out. And I think the book is a real grand slam. I realize I'm patting myself on the back, but I wouldn't put it out if I didn't think it was really good. I think it's great. It has been a thrill that all the fans have loved it. I don't think I got a single bad response from a fan at all. The only medium review we got was from one guy who clearly didn't know anything about Leftover Crack, and another guy who has an agenda against Leftover Crack, and me specifically, and that's who got like a 3 out of 5. So I thought that's pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, but everyone else loved it, so I'm really appreciative of that. This year I got a couple ideas for the next project. But you know, I got so many small projects that I just got to nail down and finish off. So I feel like I'm treading water right now, which is bad. But I want my next project to be I want to fall into the second album trap where the second album's not as good. I really want to do a real grand slam again. So I want to move carefully. But I just want to say thanks to all the people that checked out the book. Thanks to the people that came to the book release show. Thanks to people that bought the book and read the book and sent me some nice email or said something nice about it or wrote a review. I really appreciate it. And we literally could not have done it without you. So thanks to everyone for that. That was cool. You know, some crappy stuff happened, but At least my book came out, which was a real thrill. I can't tell you how much of a thrill it is to be at a show for your book, or you're at Punk Rock Bowling and people are lining up to buy your book, which is pretty rad. So thanks to everyone for that. And I promise I will try to talk about it less going forward, and I will, but I'm going to bring it up here and there, but I will talk about it less in the future. But talking about now and more, play some tunes.
All right. So I had problems narrowing down four songs because I had just – I don't even know, like, I want to play everything, so maybe I can do, like, a bonus episode where I play all my stuff. But the four songs I'm going to play are, I'm going to start off with a song by Candy Apple. So Candy Apple, they're a hardcore band out of Denver, and they released Sweet Dreams of Violence via Convault Records. It's number 14 on my top 20 list. And this was one of the most, like, this was one of the albums that just, like, grabbed me, and that was it. And it was like, nope, that's what I'm listening to now. It's so good. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of, like, ferocity. There's so much fuzz. It's great. The Cowboy is one of the best songs. I've listened to that so much and, like, sang along with it so much. And that's not the song I'm going to play, though. I'm going to play the album closer, which is Medicine. It's heavy. It's hardcore. There's fuzz. It's catchy somehow. If you like the song, you know, you'll love the album. And, like, it leaves you wanting more. So I can't – I really hope they do more stuff because that was just awesome. Next, I'm going to play a song by Witch Fever. So they're a doom punk band out of Manchester, and they released their EP Reincarnate via Music for Nations, and it's number 3 on my EP list. It has a goth feel. You know, they're really angry. There's some religious imagery. They're just the power that they're able to generate, and like the depth of sound and the lyrics and the vocals, just love everything about it. So this is In Birth by Witch Fever. And next is a band from Montreal called Visibly Choked, and they put out one of the most exciting and promising debut EPs of the year with their self-titled EP. So I'm going to play Shitlord, and this is one of the most cathartic songs on the record because, again, you know, when you can sing along and yell, like, you know, fuck you piece of shit, like, you know, that's always a good day, and you get to relieve a lot of stress and a lot of anger and stuff, so that's always good. And I'm going to top this off with Swimming by Sprints. So Sprints are they're a band out of Dublin, and they play post-punk mixed with garage rock and a bit of noise. They're vital, they're urgent, they have a lot of social commentary. You can't sit still and listen to the song. You know, it just fills you with energy. It's very catchy. You know, just need more Sprints, and Swimming is off of their EP Manifesto, which was my EP of the year. So those are my four songs.
We'll be right back.
back, and let's wrap it up like we always wrap up the end of the year episode. Let's talk about what you are looking forward in 2022 and what you hope happens. Halle Bullock, what are you looking forward to in 2022, and what do you hope happens in the new year?
The Turnstile Show. Yeah, I don't know. I hope I can go to shows again. I hope I can, like, cry like a baby at a show, because I'm, like, so happy to be at a show. That's really all I'm hoping for. Because if I can do that, then it'll mean, like, so many other things that I want to happen in 22 will have happened. Do you know what I mean? So, that's me.
Well, I'm looking forward to, let's see, F'd Up has got a new record coming out. Off, I mean, I think this might be the make it or break it year for Off. I mean, I have no idea what's going on with the Off camp. I mean, we know they rebooted with two new members, and sadly, Stephen Shane McDonald left the band, as did Mara Rubalcaba. So, I mean, like, let's use the New York Dolls as an example. When they had, like, a big tiff at the end of the band, they resurrected for a short Japan tour and then fell apart. So, is Off at the end of the ride, which would be very sad, or are they rebooting? I mean, they said they're demoing like 24 songs or something. So will we get our block knocked off with a new Off album? I hope so. We'll see. Germany Suck. They put out one EP and one single and one split single. And they said they recorded an album like a year ago. So my question is, where is it? I can't wait to hear that. I really hope Suck puts out a record. Let's see. Melvins have got at least one album coming out this year, but I'm sure. And actually, the EP they already put out is already great. Eugene of Oxbow has a new Buñuel album coming out. Breaking news. You are a lucky duck if you get to hear this before tomorrow at 2 p.m. EST, which you probably won't get to, but you might if it's posted early tomorrow. New solo album by Christian of Mean Jeans. It's called Funky Punks in Space, and it is Mean Jeans meets Dead or Alive and New Order and, you know, 80s synth music. And it is...
John?
I remember confused, but I called it all.
John, are you there?
Can you guys hear me?
Now we can.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right, yeah. And anyways, the Funky Punks in Space by Christian of Mean Jeans, I am so stoked on that. I can't wait for that to come out. I know Blag of the Dwarves has said he's been working on some solo stuff or some stuff kind of like that, so I'm very excited to see what shape that takes. So from my perspective, KRS-One's got a new album coming out. Susie Moon has said she's got some stuff coming out. Dead Milkmen have been recording an album. Maybe they'll have an album coming out. And Zorn, Philly Death Rockers, have said they've got an album coming out. So, man, a lot of cool stuff on the horizon. Although I feel like a lot of this might be like, oh, it's coming out, and then it never comes out. We'll see. I mean, I can think of at least one band that had a whole album, and they broke up, and they just never put it out, and it's just hanging out in limbo. I mean, and by one band, I mean one media band that we talked about on the podcast before. So I'm psyched. I think there's a lot of cool stuff coming out. I hope COVID kind of gets sorted out. Or, I mean, I think nobody knows what's going to happen, but – So listen, I hope we get sorted out. I don't have the answer. I mean, if I did, I'd run to Congress and tell them to pay me $50,000 and I'll solve COVID. So listen, man, be safe, be cool. Don't be a nut job. I'll talk about, guys, we're talking, what really bummed me out this year and last year, a couple of my friends, they didn't go totally off the deep end, but they, you know, they're on the precipice and they're not coming back. You know, now that things are a little calmer, you know, and it's really bumming me out, man. I don't know what to, we'll talk about this some other podcast where you guys can hear John be emo. So, I mean, that's been a real bummer, frankly. So hopefully, I do feel as though, you know, the die has been cast, you know, you can't unring a bell. And so I do wonder if things will get back to more sane times, or will we always be in this weird chaos insanity where facts are not facts? I don't know. I hope so, but I don't know. Until then, listen, I'll just keep cranking the Off and the Dwarves and I was looking forward to punk rock bowling, but it got delayed or canceled. We'll see. Maybe it'll bring it in the fall again, which would be cool. So anyways, there's a lot of cool music coming out. A lot of cool bands have been making the most of their time in quarantine and lockdown and, you know, not so much touring. I'm very excited. I think art is as strong as ever. I don't get these people that said 2021 wasn't that great of a year. I thought 2021 was fantastic, and I think 2022 is going to be as fantastic. And more. What are you looking forward to in the deuce?
There is so much stuff. So for, like, albums coming out, Tanya Tugak is putting out a new album called Tongues, and I'm really excited for that one. Nobro are, like, hinting at releasing music, so I hope that happens. Punitive mm-hmm. Damage are also going to be hopefully releasing music this year, same with Initiate. Pillow Queens just announced their new album, and I can't wait. I'm really excited because In Waiting is just, like, perfect, so the next one's going to just be, like, that much better. Bob Villain's releasing a new thing. Pup is going to be releasing a new thing, and I'm very on the fence because I didn't like that song, but I'm going to wait and listen to the full album to reserve judgment. Tits Up released their EP on the 1st. It's called Greatest Tits, and it's awesome. I want to renew my passport this year, so I need to look into starting the process because I tried to, and it was didn't end up working out well just as a some timing issue, hopefully, like, shows will be able to happen, because I wasn't able to get out, this year, I wasn't able to get out last year. The last show I went to was, 2019, I think, yeah, It was really good. But anyway, I want to get back to seeing shows, so hopefully things are safe this year. And it really sucks because I missed a couple that I had an opportunity to go to, but I couldn't get there, and then it wouldn't have been safe to come home. So hopefully that gets resolved and can do that. Looking forward to writing more this year and doing more in that vein of things and kind of getting that rolling. And always, like, when the new year starts, just what brings me the most joy is, like, there's going to be so many new bands that, you know, are either new, like, in formation or new to me, and new music, again, either new in, like, actually new or new to me, and that always is just the best. So hopefully 2022 is a lot better than the previous 2 years. I hope I'm able to see friends in person again. And that people, just all around wise up and start taking things seriously. So we won't be stuck in a loop forever. But yeah.
Sammy B, what are you looking forward to in 2022? And then after that, send us out with your kick ass. We've been kicking it for an hour and 10 following my 8-minute monologue. I'm a little scrambled. I'm a little out of whisper. Don't worry, listeners. Next week we'll be back on a regular schedule. We've got a lot of news that I can't wait to cover. I can't wait to cover Taylor Swift as record ambassador. I can't wait to cover the delay of punk rock bowling. I can't wait to cover some other piece of news that I can't remember off the top of my head. But Sammy B, 2022, what are we looking forward to? What's cool? What's happening? What's going to go on? And what are your picks from the year?
So, I think 2022 is very promising. I have Greg Barnett from Menzinger's, his solo album, on pre-order. So, I'm super stoked because he's my favorite of all of the vocalists in Menzinger's ever. I am stoked about the Pup album. Comeback Kid is releasing an album tomorrow, today. I guess this is coming out on Friday, so today. my favorites, A Wilhelm Scream, is putting something out this year. Woo! I love them so much. If you have ever seen me in the pit in Wilhelm Scream, they're pretty much the only person that could potentially get me in the pit. Weird, I know. Hot Water Music has something coming out this year, which I'm super stoked because that first song that came out is Hot Fire. I think I saw my Bouncing Souls is recording something with Will Yip, so I have that to look forward to, maybe. Yeah, so I'm just happy that things are coming. Hopefully my pre-orders will come to me in a timely manner. Hopefully they get pressed. I do have tickets to a couple things. So I just got tickets to see Jawbreaker and Linda Lindas in New York City. Mm-hmm. I'm really stoked about seeing Linda Lindas. I love them so much. These are the little girls that I wish I had in my life, my entire life. I have tickets to go see Oki Boki Beaver. From Japan, so that's something. I have tickets to see Hot Water and Wilhelm, and I'll probably be at Stokes for the Summer for Souls sometime in July, so yeah, I have things to look forward to. I'm really happy about that. Yeah, hopefully we all do what we have to do and get each other out of this pandemic, because this pandemic is depressing as hell. And we need this to end sooner than later, please. And hopefully people be good to each other, because we just don't need any more negativity or evil humans in this world. Yeah.
Hear, hear.
Well said. Well said.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to play my four songs. I have three Canadian bands and one from the UK.
Nice.
Because I love my Canadian bands. So here's kind of like an indie band. They're called Dad Sports. For some strange reason, I like checking out bands that have sports in the name, even though I hate sports. Besides baseball, I really do like baseball. So this is If You Want To. Okay. Another Canadian band. I think they're from Ottawa, something like that. They're called Rest Easy. They're actually members of Daggermouth and Shook Ones. The band actually sounds like Shook Ones, and they sound like Kid Dynamite. So, of course, that's up my alley, right? So this song is called Get Busy Dying. This another Canadian band. They're called The Last Mile. Somehow, it came through my feed, my Facebook feed one day, that they released a song, and I found them fantastic. I actually put them on my LP list. Actually, all of these bands are on my list. So this, I'm going to play Skyline, which is my favorite song. And I'm going to play my number one, which is Drones. So it's going to be Live and Let Live.
I'm
And that's the end of the wrap-up. Sammy B and more, Hallie Bullet. Here we go, 2022. Let's do it.
Woo! Infinity and beyond.